Number one today, if you'll turn there. Proverbs chapter number one. And when you get there, just go ahead and stand and read along with us. Amen. Reverence to this book. Amen. I do believe that we have the preserved Word of God, which was inspired in the original writings and was preserved and is inspired today.
Amen.
I believe we got the same book. Amen. And I don't have any problem about that whatsoever. Now, that hair lips, you don't come after service and talk to me about it because you won't get anywhere. I'll just be honest with you. Some things I'm dogmatic, as Brother Eugene said, and some things I'm bulldogmatic about, and I am bulldogmatic about this. Amen. I love this book, and I'm glad that God preserved me a book that I can find out how to be saved, how to go to heaven, and how to live, and what he has to say, and know that it's correct when I lay my head on a pillow. I ain't never jumped out of bed, Miss Tracy, and say, I wonder if I got the Word of God. I ain't never done it. I ain't never done it. And I ain't never had something I didn't understand. What if I didn't study, I found out that what I thought was a mistake, that I was mistaken. And it was right. You understand? So when I look at something and say, well, that seems contradictory, I knew I was wrong. If I ever read the Bible and something seems like that, and it seems like it contradicted something else, I know I'm wrong. I know I'm wrong as soon as I read it. I said, I don't understand it somewhere. And as soon as I read some more and study, I find out where it is. I'm just going to give you that tonight. And pray for my friend. I think he just needs to get out of there.
Amen.
Proverbs 1:1, look at it with me. It said, the Proverbs of Solomon, son of David, king of Israel, to know wisdom and instruction, to perceive the words of understanding, to receive the instruction of wisdom, justice and judgment and equity, to give subtlety to the simple, to the young man knowledge, and discretion. Here's the amazing thing about the book of Proverbs. If I would say to each one of you tonight, why was the book of Proverbs written? What is it? What's the most? If you could put it in one word, sum it up. What it was? I would think probably most of you would say wisdom.
Amen.
Wisdom, and you'd be correct. It says it here in the first few verses. That's the reason it was written. But here's the amazing thing about it. In the book of Proverbs, it speaks more. It's amazingly how many times it speaks about foolishness and the fool. And here's what I believe. I don't believe you can understand what wisdom is and still you understand what foolishness is and being a fool is. And so, you know, I know what the Bible says in the New Testament. You know, if you call a person a fool, you're in danger of hellfire, and I'm not here to call anybody a fool. But I am here. There's nothing wrong to identify what is foolishness and what a fool will act like. Amen? And so what I want us to do tonight is we study here tonight, and I'm going to preach tonight, and we don't have to look far to find a fool. We don't have to look far to find a fool. And if you want the outline tonight, you can have it afterward. But I'll be honest with you, a lot of verses. This is topical tonight. But I want to preach on about what a fool is. And here's what I want us to do. I want me, as I studied, I search my heart. And I want you, as we preach on it, to search your heart and say, you know, have I been acting foolish? Or do I have some foolish tendencies in me that I need to get out of me so God can use me in the right way so I can have wisdom? You know, you can't fill a cup up with everything. You either fill it up with clear water or you fill it up with muddy water, but you can't fill it up with both. Amen. And so, you know, if I can get some of the foolishness out, maybe I can get some of the fullness in. Does that make sense? And so that's what I need tonight. I need to get foolishness out so I can get fullness in. And as John said, I must decrease and he must increase. Amen. So let's go, Lord, in prayer tonight. I want to preach on tonight. We don't have to look far to find a fool. I'm going to preach on foolishness tonight. What is foolishness and what a fool does? Brother Ty, would you lead us in prayer and please pray for me tonight? Amen. Let me qualify while I go. I said I love Brother Seitler. This has nothing to do with anything Brother Seitler's ever preached as far as I know. And I didn't read this out of any book he's got. I read something else about what he said about the Bible. Man, that's got me wound up a little bit around that. So he's very exciting on what he said about the Bible. Amen. He was very settled on that we got the right Bible. So that The Message has nothing to do with Brother Seitler whatsoever, or getting it from him, or finding anything in notes. If you find anything on it, please show it to him, because I hadn't found it. But this is just something I believe we need to preach on tonight. Look at it with me in this verse here. Look at down at verse number 7 of chapter 1. And I want to preach on some things about the problems that a fool has. And there are four major problems that a fool has. Number one, a fool has a problem with wisdom. That's overly simple, isn't it? But a fool has a problem with wisdom. Look at verse number 7 of chapter 1. It says, "The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge." Amen. That's a great verse, isn't it? "The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and instruction." Now, there is a natural rebellion against wisdom in a fool's life. In fact, there's a natural rebellion in our flesh against instruction. We don't like instruction. We don't want nobody to tell us what to do. But the Bible says a fool despises wisdom and instruction, cannot stand for anybody to tell him how he ought to go and what direction he ought to go in, because that's just not up. He just don't like it. Now, what that problem is, it's a problem with lordship. And boy, you can say lordship, and people get all wound about it, and I don't mind a bit. Tonight I got saved. I said, "Lord, please save me." Amen? And I don't have a problem with lordship salvation. Some people say, "Oh, I don't believe in Lord." I do. I believe he has to be Lord in order to be saved. Amen? I don't believe you come and make a deal with God. Amen? I believe he's God. Tonight I got saved. He is God then. He's God now. Amen? And so I don't have a problem with that, you know, whatsoever. But it says, "But the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and instruction." And so there is a natural rebellion against wisdom because it has a problem with lordship. And then number two, it has a problem with love. If you were to turn over to verse number 22 of this same chapter, you notice what it says. It says, "How long, ye simple ones, will ye love simplicity, and the scorners delight in their scorning, and fools hate knowledge?" And the reason there's a problem with lordship is because there's a problem with love. There's something that they love more than the Lord. Amen? And so a fool has a problem with wisdom because there's a natural rebellion against wisdom. And because there's a natural rebellion against wisdom, there's a natural result because of the absence of wisdom. When you have wisdom missing, there's a natural result of that. You know what that is? Proverbs chapter number 10. You don't have to turn all there. If you want to tonight, I'll give them to you afterward. But in Proverbs chapter 10, verse 21, it says, "The lips of the righteous feed many, but fools die for want of wisdom." Fools die for want of wisdom. And so the natural result of the absence of wisdom is death. A fool dies because he don't have wisdom to stay away from things and get out of things and stay away from things he shouldn't be around. And so we ought to search our heart and say, ask yourself, do I have a problem? Do I have a problem with wisdom and instruction? Do I care for anybody to show me, teach me, show me the right direction to go? In Proverbs 15:7, it says, "The lips of the wise disperse knowledge, but the heart of the foolish doeth not so." And so, you know, listen, that fool is going to always, always despise, a foolish person is going to despise wisdom, and is going to despise someone telling me what to do. I tell you, I get worried about children at a very young age when their parents start to tell them something. They got, you know, I know at a very young age they'll do it. And then they get about this age and do it. And then they get about 15 to do it. And then they get about 18 to do it. And then they get about 35 and they're still doing it. Amen. Still doing it at 35, still doing it at 55, still doing it at 65. Still got a problem with having wisdom and instruction given to them. And so a fool has a problem with wisdom. Now we need to search our hearts and ask ourselves, do I have a problem receiving instruction and receiving wisdom? Is that a problem with me? And if it is, you're going to have to say to yourself that you have some foolish tendencies. Amen. And I need to get that out. Remember what I said? If I get foolishness out, then I can get fullness in. Amen. So I need to be able to receive instruction. Number two, not only does a fool have a problem with wisdom, but a fool has a problem with words. Fool has a problem with words. Look at with me in chapter number 10. I do want you to turn these. Chapter number 10, Look at verse number 8. I mean, this book is, and I'm not even scratching the surface of what's on the book of Proverbs about foolishness. But I just want to get a few of them here. Look at chapter number 10, verse number 8. Chapter 10, verse number 8 says this. The wise in heart will receive commandments. That almost goes along with what we just said, don't it? Will receive commandments, but a prating fool shall fall. And the word prating there means to be talking all the time. Means to be, you know, trying to give instruction. They're just talking. You know, talking. And trying to give instructions. And they're just talking. They're not listening to anything. And you're trying to tell them. They're not listening to anything. And said, a prating fool shall fall. Why? Because he won't receive commandments. He won't receive instructions. And so what it does is the lips of a fool overthrows him. It makes him get in trouble because he's too busy talking instead of listening. And this seems overly fundamental. I know it does. But I'm just saying we need to search it out to see if there's a problem with it. Now, not only does it overthrow the fool, but number two, it overflows the fool. Proverbs chapter number 15. Turn over there, chapter 15. And we'll just turn a few verses here tonight if you don't mind. You don't mind thumbing through the scriptures, do you? And look at verse number 2. It says, the tongue of the wise uses knowledge aright, but the mouth of fools poureth out foolishness. Now, what does that say there? It says, not only does it overthrow the fool, but it overflows the fool. In other words, not only is he talking, but the foolishness just comes out of him. It's like turning a fountain on it. You know, I have found out that if you give people enough time, they'll say enough. You can go, Lord, you shouldn't have said that. You know why I don't have bumper stickers all over my car and wear big old pastor's things? Because people change gears when they think they know who you are. I mean, I've seen people do all kinds of things and say all kinds of things. And then they find their pastor and they're like, you know, they get all spiritual then. I know, I heard a Sunday school teacher at church at work today say the most God-awful, wicked thing. And she's a Sunday school teacher. I said, she's a Sunday school teacher. She would be teaching if she, well, she wouldn't either. But if you went to her church, y'all better not be like this. If I find out, she'd be teaching these girls. How'd you like to have somebody like that teaching our children? Amen. What does it say? It says a fool, it just rolls out of them. Foolish things just flow out of them. Just give them enough time and they'll just say it. They'll do it sooner or later. They can't help themselves. They got so much foolish on the inside that if they open their mouth long enough, they'll say something so foolish, it's going to come out. So, you know, it says right here that it overflows the fool. It overthrows them and then it overflows them. Look at chapter 17, just two chapters over. Verse number 7, look at it with me. I mean, this book is full of wisdom about fools. Look at chapter number 17, verse number 7. Excellent speech becometh not a fool, much less do lying lips a prince. It says it overthrows a fool. It says it overflows a fool. It says it overshadows a fool. In other words, he won't be eloquent in his speech. He'll try to be. But sooner or later, he's going to say it like he is. It's going to overshadow him. He's going to say things that shows that he's got foolishness in his heart. Or she's going to say things that shows that she's got foolishness in her heart. And so that's how a fool works. You see what I'm saying? You need to understand that. Now, we need to ask ourselves, do I have so much foolishness in me that I can't take instruction commandments and it overthrows me and I get in trouble? It overflows me and comes out, but, well, I just said it before I thought about it. It's convicting, isn't it? I told Miss Rhonda for left night, she wasn't going to be here. I said, you want to hear a message? She said, sure. So I sat on the couch and I give her the Reader's Digest tonight right before I come. You know what my wife's saying? She said, I've been guilty of that before. And she was honest. She sat on the couch tonight with me. She said, I said, you know what? I have too. And we got to be careful that we don't have so much foolishness in us instead of, some of y'all say, I don't ever have a problem with that. Yes, you did. You just did. Your thought said that. The fact that you think that is foolish. Amen. Are y'all with me tonight? Are y'all scared to say it? Now, this is not, I don't want you to go home depressed. I want you to go home full. And I don't want to get fools. We got to get foolishness out. And so we see it overshadows the fool in that no matter what they try to say, sooner or later, no matter how much they try to eloquent and dress on and say these great words, sooner or later they're going to say something that is wrong in a way that's just going to identify them to what's in their heart. Number four, notice this. All the way over to chapter 29. We've got to move some distance here. Look at chapter 29, verse number 11. It overthrows the fool. It overflows the fool. It overshadows the fool. You know what else it does? It oversteps the fool. Look at chapter 29, verse number 11. It says, a fool uttereth, say it with me, all his mind. You ever hear somebody say, I'm going to give you a piece of my mind? I heard my brother say one time, you ought to save that. You ain't got much. Amen. It's pretty good little saying. But a lot of people, I'm just going to give them a piece of my mind. You better be careful about that. The Bible's got some good words on that right here. You know what it says? It says, a fool uttereth all his mind, but a wise man keepeth it until afterwards. In other words, a wise man sits there and thinks about the situation. Thinks about the situation before he speaks. The fool just say, I'll tell you what I think. And we've got to be careful. Got to be careful. Amen. And so it will overshadow, overflow, overthrow, and overstep the fool. The fool will speak where he should not speak, Brother Freeman. Ecclesiastes, written by the same writer of Proverbs, in Ecclesiastes chapter number 5, verse 3, you don't need to turn there. It says, for a dream cometh through the multitude of business, and a fool's voice is known by the multitude of words. A fool's voice is known by the multitude of words. Now, don't get mad tonight. Let's just get right with our heart. Let's say, don't look across the aisle and say, well, that person's got a problem with that. No, that's not what we're preaching to tonight. We're preaching to us. Amen? And so, see, a fool has a problem with words. Amen? They get away from him. They show who he is. Sooner or later, he's going to talk like he really thinks. Sooner or later, he's going to give you a piece of his mind. Sooner or later, he's going to say more than he should. Sooner or later, it's going to overthrow him because instead of listening, he's talking. Amen? Number three tonight. A fool has a problem with wisdom. A fool has a problem with words. Number three, a fool has a problem with wrong. With wrong. I want you to turn back over to Proverbs chapter 10 again with me. Look back at chapter 10. This is topical, I know, and I don't typically preach many topical messages, but this has to be done this way. Look at chapter 10. Look at verse number 18. A fool has a problem with wrong. In other words, he's quick to find wrong with others. Quick to find wrong with others. Let me show what I mean. Look at verse number 18 of chapter 10. He that hideth hatred with lying lips, and he that uttereth slander is a fool. And then it didn't say acts like a fool. It says, is a fool. Now notice what it says. He that hideth hatred with lying lips, and he that uttereth slander is a fool. Now notice what it's a person. Miss Freeman is a person that in my presence won't say something. But he'll find somebody that he can't say it to. Or in your presence, they'll never say it. They hide hatred. But sooner or later, they're going to slander. They may not say it in front of you, but they will say it out there. They may not say it here, but they're going to find somebody out there to talk to. Amen? Boy, I tell you one thing. You wait till I get home. We're going to talk about this. Amen. You wait till I can call so-and-so up. They'll listen to me. And that's what a fool is. A fool will hide their hatred and then find somebody to slander, that they can slander with, who they can talk to about it. The Bible says in Proverbs chapter 11, look at chapter 11, verse 13. It says, a talebearer, chapter 11, verse 13, revealeth secrets, but he that is a faithful spirit concealeth the matter. He that is a faithful spirit concealeth the matter. It says a person that is the right spirit is not a talebearer. In fact, if anything, they don't want to talk about it. They don't want to talk about it. It's not something that they want to get together with everybody and we just want to work it all out in front of. We just want to spread the news. Not a person of faithful spirit. A person of faithful spirit won't do that. Why won't they do that? Number one, they don't want to start harm. You say, preacher, what are you saying? It's quick to find wrong with others, and they're always looking for somebody who will hear. Number two, they're looking to do harm. The Bible says in Proverbs 18:8, it says this, the words of the talebearer are as wounds, and they go down into the innermost parts of the belly. When a person has a talebearer, and they're a gossiper, and they talk about people, they send out wounds that go down into the depths of somebody. They hurt deep. Someone said, sticks and stones may break my bones, but word never hurt me. They weren't never involved in somebody's slander for. They do hurt. You can take a few sticks and stones, get some bruises, get up and wipe that off a few days, the bruises go away. There's some things that people have said sometimes that have hurt for years. You understand? Years. And so they're looking to do harm. Proverbs 14:1 says, every wise woman buildeth her house, but a foolish plucketh it down with her hand. She tears her own house down. And she does it physically. And so it's looking to do harm. Proverbs 20:3 says, it's looking to disrupt harmony. Proverbs 20:3 said, it is an honor for a man to cease from strife, but every fool will be meddling. Every fool will be meddling. What is meddling? That's being in somebody else's business. Somebody else's business. Always want to meddle. Why are they doing that for? They're wanting to disrupt harmony. Disrupt harmony. And so we've got to be careful. We've got to be careful that the foolishness of dealing with wrong things the wrong way. In other words, don't always be quick to try to find wrong in others. Don't try to always, you know, well, I'll tell you one thing. I'd tell the preacher, but he don't want to hear it, so I'll go find somebody who will hear it. Or I call Miss Tracy, but she don't want to hear it, so I'm going to call somebody else. Or I call Miss Freeman, she don't want to hear it. So, keep calling around, you find somebody to listen. And you ought not be a garbage can. Your ears ought not be garbage can. Listen, somebody starts that stuff, I say, let's don't do that. You know the best way to stop gossip? Let me give it to you right here. This is the best way to stop gossip. I don't even know if we got a problem here at church. We're going to get it settled tonight. Best way to stop gossip. You know how the best way is? It's when a person begins to gossip, say, you know what? Let's stop and pray for that person. Hit a killer dead in the tracks. Kick, kick, kick. It will. Just say, whoa, before we do that, let's don't talk about it. Let's pray for them. Amen. I mean, that's the way. Don't be a trash can here. Amen. And so, Brother Freddie, the first thing we do is a fool has a problem with wrong. In other words, they're always trying to be, they're real quick on finding something wrong with somebody else. But you know what the other side is? They're real slow in what? Finding wrong with themselves. Can I give you a Bible for it? Look at Proverbs chapter 12. Proverbs chapter 12, verse number 15. I didn't make this up. Look at verse 15. The way of a fool is right in his own eyes, but he that hearkeneth unto counsel is wise. The way of a fool is right in his own eyes. Whatever he does is right. Everybody's wrong and I'm right. Let me ask you this. How long has it been since you've been wrong? I guarantee you it's worse than that. Y'all don't want me to do it tonight, do you? Can y'all say it? I can say it. Somebody say it with me. I was wrong. Now we can do better than that, can't we? Now say it like you mean it. I was wrong. Amen. And I can guarantee you have been. We all been wrong. We've all missed the mark. We've all fallen short. I'll tell you what that'd do for you. That'd give you a humble spirit where you can pray for somebody rather than ridicule them. When you realize how wrong you were when Jesus found you and how wrong you've been since he's found you, it'll make you get over yourself and want to find more like him. Amen? And so Proverbs 12:15, the way of a fool is right in his own eyes. You say, oh, it ain't that bad. Oh, yeah, chapter 14. It's worse than that. Look at chapter 14, verse 16. Brother Ty, I got Bible for this night. Isn't that good? It's always good for a preacher to have Bible. Look at verse number 16. It says, a wise man feareth and departeth from evil, but the fool rageth and is what? Confident. It says a wise man feareth and departeth from evil. He says he sees evil and says, no, I don't want to get away from that. He takes off running. He runs away from him. He escheweth evil. Isn't that what Job did? He got away from it. But it says a fool, but the fool rages and is confident. He's out there just standing. He's standing in a hailstorm saying it ain't a storm. You know? And saying, I'm confident it's not raining. He's soaking wet, but it's not raining. Amen. Amen. My dad said, you'd argue with a fence post. I've heard him say that all my life. You'd argue with a fence post. I don't know why a fence post, but I guess he figured that's about the dullest thing you can see. Amen. You'd argue with a fence post. And you know, that's the truth here. He's slow to find wrong in himself. He's always right, and he always rages. Oh, it gets worse. Look at verse 17. He that is soon angry dealeth, how? Foolishly. And a man of wicked devices is hated. And so that's how a fool is. He says, oh, no, I'm not wrong. I can't be wrong. Because I'm me. I'm me. I can't be wrong. And that's foolishness. Not only can you be wrong, and I be wrong, we have been wrong. And we've been wrong many times, Brother Freddie. And I got news for you. I'm going to really hurt your feelings. You'll be wrong again. How do I know that? Because you're wrapped up in the same stinking flesh I am. And as soon as this flesh begins to rule and it rages, we act foolish. Amen? And so we see here that a fool has a problem with things that are wrong. Quick to find it in others, almost never finds it in himself or herself. Now, look at this fourth point. Chapter number 19, verse number 10. Do y'all mind this topical? I hope you don't, because that's the way we are. It's just topical. Just getting an understanding of some things. Look at chapter 19, verse 10. This one here is convicting. It says, delight is not seemly for a fool, much less for a servant to have rule over princesses. And you know, we've got to know what that means, right? And the word delight means luxury, goodness, refinement. And boy, here's where us rednecks got to be really careful. Well, that's just the way I am. Read that verse. Delight is not seemly. Is that right? For a fool. A fool don't believe in refinement. That's rough there, ain't it? But it's convicting. So if I don't want to be a fool, if I don't want to be foolish, then I ought to learn in some ways to be refined. Yes, I know where he brought me from. But should I not quit living like that was? I'm not saying forget where you brought you from. I'm not saying forget your roots. I'm not saying forget your heritage. I'm saying being refined of God. In other words, let him take that chunk of coal and truly make a diamond out of it. Truly make a diamond out of you. Let God polish us up. Let God change our mannerisms. Let him change our words. Brother Biddle instructed me. Brother Tony instructed me. I was riding down the road with him when he was here in revival. When my first revival, Brother Biddle had him here. First time I ever had Brother Biddle here. And you know what he told me? He said, Preacher Terry, don't use anything but Bible words. And the reason is, I used to use different words than sodomite. Used to. And I wasn't even saying in his presence. He just gave me some instruction as a young preacher. And you know what I come to find out? He's right. If I use sodomite, does anybody here not know what a sodomite is? Anybody that's adult, that's of that mature age, we know what a sodomite is, right? Now there's other words out there. There's other words out in our vocabulary. There's other words used in our society. But those words have very wicked connotations. They have very disgusting things about them. And not only that, they make it easier for them. But if you call, if somebody is a sodomite and you preach on it and call it the sin of sodomy, you are putting them under the condemnation that's in that book. Because that book said that God slew the sodomites. And it says it's an abomination. Amen? You see what I'm saying? And I took some instruction from that man of God. And I said, you know what? I needed that. And I changed my vocabulary. So when I'm preaching, you won't ever hear me say anything. When I preach on that subject, you'll hear Preacher Terry say, sodomites. It was just some good instruction. He didn't tell me that. He just said, I have found. He's going, I wrote to him. He said, I have found it's a good thing to use Bible words. And the last time he's here with us, I'm down the road and I told him, he said, you remember? He said, yeah. He said, you know what? I had to change my language to make sure I use Bible words and call it what it was. Amen. And so, number one, we should not wallow in misery. We ought not live like we've always lived. We ought to be refined. We ought to let God refine us. Now listen, I'm probably never going to get that southern twang out of my voice. And I probably always use ain't. Probably will. But I don't have to. You understand what I'm saying? It's all right for God to refine us. One young preacher said, he come out, went up pulpit and says, I don't need no education. I hope God just makes me ignoranter and ignoranter. And he went to sit down, his young preacher sat beside him and said, son, I think your prayer is getting answered. You hear what I'm saying? Some people take pride in being opposite from what God wants us to be. Don't take pride. And not be able to be a delight in the things that ought to be delighted in. You understand what I'm saying? It's all right for God to refine us. Amen. Somebody say amen right there. That's the truth. And so I hope you get that. And then chapter 26. Turn over there with me. I'm trying to hurry. Chapter 20. I'm almost done, to be honest with you. Chapter number 26. Look at verse number 1. Chapter 26, verse 1 says, As snow in the summer, as rain in harvest, so is honor not seemly for a fool. And it says that it has the meaning of, listen, not only does a fool have a problem with wallowing in misery, but he has a problem with wallowing in the mud and things, and he just don't ever come out honorable. Brother Tony, I may not have deserved to have your honor, but I should strive for it. As pastor, I may not have deserved to have your respect, Brother Freeman, but I should strive for it. It's not all right just to keep wallowing in the mud and misery of life and say, well, that's, you know. No, God saved us. Let's don't use that song. Well, he took me out of the mire and put me in the choir. Don't sing that if you don't mean it. Y'all listen to me? Don't sing it if you don't mean it. If God didn't pick you up and he left you where you was, then it's all right to keep on living like we were. But if he picked us up and put us on a solid rock, then we ought to live like where he put us. Amen. We ought to live better than this world. We ought to live better than their mannerisms. We ought to live better in our mannerisms. It ought to be a difference. Y'all agree with me in that tonight? Ain't this real deep? It's real deep, ain't it? But it's convicting. Ain't it convicting? A fool has a problem with wallowing. A fool has a problem with wrong. A fool has a problem with words. A fool has a problem with wisdom. So how do you deal with a fool? That's the $64,000 question, ain't it? Well, I'll tell you what you can't do. Turn back with me to chapter 13. Here we go. We're done. Four things and we're done. Real quickly. Four things. It's just 8:28. I ought to be able to get this done quick. I should have told you all it was 9:30. Everybody would look back and see. Proverbs chapter 13, verse number 20. Look at it with me. He that walketh with wise men shall be wise. That's good, isn't it? You want to be wise? Hang around somebody else that's wise. I have found that to be true. Amen. What do you think about like when we go to all these revivals and jubilees and all that? What do you think the preacher hangs around those older preachers for? Man, I am gleaning. gleaning from those men things I need to know. But a companion of fools shall be destroyed. Number one, you cannot befriend it out of them. If a person acts foolish, you can't befriend foolishness out of a person. In fact, if you run with fools, what's the Bible saying? Companion of fools shall be destroyed. You can't befriend it out of them. Well, so that won't work. Look at chapter 17. Here we go again, verse 10. So, okay, if you can't befriend it out, let's just beat it out of them. That sound good? We'll just beat it out of them. Chapter 17, verse 10. A reproof entereth more into a wise man than 100 stripes into a fool. You can't beat it out of him. Brother Freeman, you can't beat foolishness out of somebody. That's amazing, though, isn't it? You can't beat it out of them. If they want to be foolish, they're going to be foolish no matter what you do. You can beat them. Can't beat it out of them. Can't befriend it out of them. What are we going to do? Well, chapter 17, verse 16. Look on down there. Just a few verses. Wherefore is there a price in the hand of a fool to get wisdom, seeing he hath no heart to it? You know what that means? It says you can take all the money in the world and give to a fool to go out and try to get wisdom, and he'll never get wise. So you can't buy it out of him. You give somebody's foolishness money, they'll just go out and do things, just more foolishness with it. And they'll just keep doing foolishness and keep doing foolishness and keep doing foolishness as long as they got the money. And then they'll come back to you and go, you can't buy it out of them. You can't beat it out of them. You can't befriend it out of them. Look at chapter 29. And here's the one that bothers me the most. You can't behoove it out of them. Look at verse number 20, chapter 29, verse 9. If a wise man contendeth with a foolish man, whether he rage or laugh, there is no rest. Brother Ty, you can't even behoove it out of a person that's acting foolish. You can get in their face and fuss at them and shake them and grab them by the ears and pull them out and rage with them, and they'll still be foolish. It says whether you rage or laugh, whether you laugh it out of them or try to laugh it out of them or joke about it and get it out, it won't work. Either way around, they'll just keep on being a fool. Because the beginning of wisdom is the fear of the Lord. The beginning of knowledge is fear of the Lord. And so you can't behoove it out of them. You can't beat it out of them. You can't buy it out of them. You can't befriend it out of them. In fact, the truth of the matter is there ain't a thing we can do to change a fool. In fact, the Bible gives us straight instructions in Proverbs 9:6. It says this, forsake the foolish and live and go in the way of understanding. When you see a person acting foolish, young people, when you see a person acting foolish, the best thing you do is turn and go the way of life. I was reading today about John or Charles, I don't remember. I think it's Charles Wesley. They're both brothers there. Founders of the Methodist Church. They're right there, Charles John. And it says that, I believe it was Charles, so Charles was walking down the street and says this big old burly guy jumps out on the sidewalk and he says, I never move for fools. Charles Wesley stepped down the gutter and he says, I always do. I think it was D.L. Moody I don't know who it was, but I think it's D.L. Moody got a note on his pulpit. He was always leaving notes on his pulpit. He opened it up one day, and it's one word. The word was fool. He looked at it. He looked up the congregation. He said, well, now I've seen something new. Everybody looked at him. He said, I've always heard of people writing notes and not sign their name, But here's the first person I've ever seen sign their name and not write a note. The best way to deal with a fool is leave him alone.
Amen.
And let God deal with him. Pray for him.
Yes.
But God has to wake them up and show them. Love them? Yes. Pray for them? Yes. Witness to them? Yes. But you can't befriend it out of them. You can't buy it out of them. You can't beat it out of them. And you can't even rage and holler and scream it out of them. If they're going to be a fool, they're going to be a fool till they come to the wisdom of God. And knowledge to fear God, to know who God is. You understand? Nadab was a fool. The Bible says his name means a fool. And David said, can we just draw some water out of your wells? And Nadab accused David. David's about ready to kill him. And his wife Abigail went out there and David said, David, don't kill him. He said, he's a fool just like his name. He said, I'll give you water and victuals and all those things. But you know what happened, Miss Tracy? God decided to wake Nabal up. And if you'll study it out, it says that words that it says it paralyzed him, and God froze him in his place where he couldn't even move for like a day, and later on he died. And that word there, if you study that word, it's like a cat playing with a mouse. It means that God just pounced on him, held him, picked at him, till he took him out of eternity. God has ways of waking fools up. We hope he'll wake them up in this life, but if not, he can wake them up in the next life. There's ways, there's sometimes fools going to act foolish and going to say things and do things and act badly towards us. But sometimes we just want to step down in the gutter and walk around and go on. You understand what I'm saying? Tonight, I'm not preaching that we look across the aisle at each other and say, this one's a fool or that one's foolish. That's not the message tonight. The message is to search my heart. God, do I have a problem with wisdom? God, do I have a problem with words? God, do I have a problem with wrong? God, do I have a problem with wallowing in the way that I've been brought up, in the way that I've been? Do I have a problem staying the same on me? Do I have a problem? And we need to search our hearts and find out if there's a problem within me, if I've got so much foolishness in me that I can't get filled. Dear Father, Lord, I thank you for letting us be in the house of God tonight. Lord, I pray you take my feeble message as far as my lips are concerned. But Lord, the truth of your scriptures are strong and bold. And Lord, it can be used in our hearts. And Lord, I pray we take these words tonight and we'd apply them to our hearts. God, that we'd grow and learn. God, that I would be able to be refined and polished by you and made to be what you want to be. Lord, that you'd take that vessel and Lord, you'd mold us and make us to what you want us to be, not what we want us to be. Not that we would try to get you to fit our image. But Lord, that we would be fitting your image. God, I pray you'd help us tonight. Help me tonight. Start in me. Work on me. Help me to be that you want me to be. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Amen. Thank you for listening tonight. Appreciate you. Pray for the young people. You young people, study, practice. Get ready for Sunday. Looking forward to it. Amen.